the name that is Jesus. He who was and still is and will be through it all. So come with me in the space between all the things unseen and this reckoning. I know.
Reading for today in John chapter 4 is one of my favorite encounters from the life of Jesus, because I think it speaks so profoundly to the core of all of our lives. And the more I thought about this particular encounter of Jesus and this woman at the well, the more I thought about what we've experienced this past week with the concern over the spread of this virus, and mainly the reactions that we have witnessed. And the things we think on the surface are the real issue, when really maybe they're only symptoms of something deeper. And also how powerful words can be to change a person's heart. So I want you to hold that thought as we begin with the original encounter, but we'll come back to that. So today's gospel lesson is about an encounter with a Samaritan woman and Jesus, and then Jesus and the whole entire town. And one conversation with Jesus changed the way this unnamed woman saw and lived her life. Everything was different. And that conversation quenched an ocean-sized thirst that she was trying to satisfy with a jar. It's satisfaction for the thirsty and their unquenched friends. So in this story, a thirsty lady comes to a well to get water. Well, every day, thirsty ladies came to the well to get water for themselves and their families, except this lady is different. Says this lady is a Samaritan, a race looked down upon by the Jews. She's unmarried, living with a man. She's at the well at noon, probably to avoid all the judgmental gossip from the others in the town, the ones who show up at the morning in the well. And Jesus, a man and a Jew, talks to her, and he reveals truths about her. And he offers her a new water that would quench her inner thirst. And it says he offers her living water. And after the conversation, it says in verse 28, so the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, come see a man who told me all I ever did. What did she do? She forgot the very thing she came to do. Or maybe she didn't forget. Maybe her real thirst was more important than her physical thirst. And Jesus gave her a cup of his water through his words. In response, she said to her neighbor, come see a man who. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. And because of his many words, many more came to believe. So the question is, how does spending and taking time with Jesus affect your life? What impact did Jesus' words have on the townspeople? It says many people came to faith in Jesus because of the testimony of this sinful woman who spent a few minutes with Jesus. She's had one conversation with him. She heard some words from Jesus, but they were so powerful enough that forever changed her life. And she wanted other people to hear words from Jesus as well. So it says she brought Jesus to her friends, because she knew if they too are able to hear words from Jesus, their lives also could be different and changed. So in that one conversation with Jesus, she realized how she was trying to quench the thirst in her life was not going to happen the way she was going at it. She had a water jar. Jesus, I guess you could say, was offering her a big gulp with free refills. So she laid aside what she had come to do, and God took her up on her offer. She came to know the power of God's word. And like the woman at the well, thousands of people every day are changed by hearing words from Jesus. And people lay down their water jars and receive God's ocean. Every day, thousands of people tell someone, hey, come see this man. Come hear from this man. And then they get something that satisfies. The question is, are you satisfied right now? How often do you experience peace with who you are and what you're doing? You say, well, what is satisfaction? How do you get the satisfaction? How do you feel it? What will make you happy? What will give you a satisfying life? Or what will make you feel safe? Love or romance, it could be a career, some cause, some money. See, it's phrased this way. If I have or if I get, then I'll know. I'll know I'm somebody. I know I'll have something or have security. And Jesus here is saying, there's nothing outside of you that can truly satisfy the thirst that is deep inside of you. And Jesus, I can quench that thirst. And as long as you think there's a pretty good chance that, as long as you think you've got a shot at, you remain oblivious to how deep maybe that thirst really truly is. We tell ourselves the reason we remain unfaithful maybe is because we just haven't reached the goal yet. But once we reach the goal, as long as I get what I think I really need, then everything will be fine. See, everyone's got to live for something. But Jesus is arguing that if he is not that thing, it will fail you. It will let you down. It will not live up to your expectation. The woman, what is this living water? Would you give it to me? And Jesus is out of nowhere says, hey, go get your husband. Well, you say, well, what in the world is Jesus doing? Why does Jesus change the topic from seeking living water to her history with men? And the thing is, he's not changing the subject. If you want to understand the nature of this living water I offer, you need to first understand how you've been seeking it in your own life. You've been trying to get it through men. And that's not working, is it? And it's never, ever going to stop. So if you stop there, and let's redo this for today. Let's retell the story in today's context. It's Friday, March 13th, 2020, 8 a.m. Jesus walks up to a woman standing with her cart in line at Costco. Jesus says, hey, could you spare one roll of toilet paper? And the woman points into the empty cart and says, you can see I don't have any, but I'm hoping that I can get some today. And Jesus says, you have five packs of 36 rolls of Charmin at home, and you have 10 Lysols and 5 large containers of hand sanitizer. And if you knew who it was that's asking you this question, you would have asked me, and I would have offered you some heart peace. It has a very soul-satisfying and peaceful aroma. And her response, Jesus, give me some of this heart peace. And she left her cart, went to her car, texted all of her friends about the peace that she felt just came over her because of the words she just heard from this man. Today, we do have a cause to be concerned. There's a whole lot of people being infected by something going around in our world right now. But here's the thing. There is a fear and a panic over the outbreak of this virus. But here's the thing that I think we need to be concerned about. Because the attitude or the thought or the thinking that's coming out in so many people is, if I just get, then everything's going to be okay. If I just get this. And there's this, almost this false illusion that's going on in some way that if I just get the toilet paper, if I just get the Purell, I'll be saved. And it's going on. I've walked through the stores, as you probably have. As I was saying at the first service, you know, when I first went, like Wednesday night or Thursday night, I went really personally for amusement. And I thought, this is going to be funny. It's worth taking pictures. And then all of a sudden, as I was walking through the store and looking at the people, it wasn't funny anymore. Because of what I was seeing in the faces of people. It was serious. It was no laughing matter. There was an anxiety on people's faces thinking, I just need to grab stuff. Whatever I can get, if I just get this, everything's going to be fine. And maybe times like this, maybe there's a voice that's coming through a megaphone that's saying, stop. You need to look deeper, folks. Because maybe, just maybe, there's a greater virus that's being manifest that we're not even considering or thinking about. And need to, because this virus will really, truly take you out. Here's the thing. I truly believe that Satan loves diversion. And he loves it when we keep focusing on symptoms and surface concerns. And Jesus kind of may be saying, you know what? Are you seriously putting all of your hope and trust and confidence in what you can put in your shopping cart? He says, please, folks, stop. Look deep inside. What's going on in your heart? Tell me, let me tell you what you really, truly need right now. And he says, put peace in your heart, in your cart. Put some peace in your cart. That's so beautifully what Paul is talking about in the New Testament reading for today in Romans 5. Because he tells us what the thing is that will actually quench that thirst, and it's called peace. Peace with God. What is the basis for our having peace with God? It's something that comes from outside of us. It's a pronouncement. It's a statement from God. It's a legal word. It's called justification. It's a verdict where a judge pronounces a person to be not guilty. You've been acquitted. It's an action on his part. It's something he does. So Romans 5 doesn't really describe the event as much as it does the benefit of being justified. And he says it's having peace with God. And that's the thing that satisfies. So having been pronounced means that God has established peace for us by removing our sin, removing our guilt. All of God's wrath turned away from us, all of his grace put on us. Yeah, the reality is, folks, the World Health Organization has declared a pandemic. I guess that really truly means we need to be concerned about the way we do life right now. And so through this time, we wash our hands, we keep our proper social distance, which is not difficult for Lutherans, and we refrain from some handshaking and stuff like that. But right now, maybe it's the way we show love to our neighbors, by looking out for one another. And now, maybe more than ever, we who have had words of peace spoken on us by God need to be carriers of peace. This is not the time to minimize or criticize or blame or inflame. I truly believe right now at this moment in this time, God is literally handing us as his children, his people, an opportunity on a platter as his people to be people who bring words of peace and comfort and care and concern to the world right now. Because we've all experienced just the opposite of that. People need to hear something different. People need to experience something different as we go about concerned as we should be. There's a lot of people right now in different experiences. I got word for the place where my mom's staying right now. No visitors for at least 2 weeks. Nursing homes, no visitors. Stay away. Call. Whatever. You can't come visit out of concern. And I think the thing that breaks my heart is my mom, in her readjustments right now, is really going through a serious time of depression and loneliness, and I can't be there. That hurts. And I think, too, of all the people now that all of a sudden got the word, hey, no preschool, no school, look at all the stuff, and all the people right now just saying, what am I supposed to do because of their situation? There are a lot of people in situations right now trying to make sense of what they have to do or be right now. This is our time, Jesus followers. We've been talking about joining Jesus. It's being handed to us on a platter on how we can come alongside people. Words of encouragement, phone calls, notes. Hey, how can I help you? How can I support you? Hey, next door neighbor, what do you need right now? Hey, someone, can I call you? Can I do whatever? How can we look out for each other? Hey, pray for our schools right now and our families and staff and teachers as they gather this week. How do we help educate our kids and keep something going here in what's been handed to us within like day's notice? And wisdom. Pray for our schools and our teachers, our families. This is our hour, folks. What we leave with today is good news. Because God has said, hey, I give you my peace. I give you my peace. I give you a clean heart. See, why did the woman and her friends find salvation or satisfaction? Because Jesus, in a brief conversation, spoke words to her that forever changed her life. People who hear words that maybe felt like they're never good enough, or that they're trying to find what they want in life in the wrong place. If I only get this, if I only get this, but something different now comes. Or what Jesus offers to those who are just going about the mundane things of life, just going fetching water. He says, hey, I'll give you something more, something greater. We have something that the world really needs right now. And again, this is our hour. For such a time as this, God is saying, people, we, as recipients of the peace and grace and love and mercy of God, have something special we can offer to our world right now. So he sees it and we do it. And for our hearts, where we need to be, we need to understand too and process this each and every day. Today, too, has been declared kind of a national day of prayer. The pastor I know put this on Facebook. It's a great prayer that we can pray together. I want to do that as we close this message today, that something that we can pray together out loud as we seek God through this time. So let's pray this prayer together. I think we have that. There we go. Let us pray. Gracious Father in heaven, your Son taught us to be anxious about nothing and to let the day's cares be sufficient for the day. These days have been hard and full of anxiety. Still our minds and hearts, we pray. Grant us nights of restful sleep and refreshment Watch over us, our families, our neighbors, our communities, our nation, and all the nations of the world. Preserve us from discord and strife. Endow our leaders with wisdom and sound judgment. Protect us from every evil of body and soul. And remind us of your ever good and gracious will to save and to bless, as you have reconciled the world and all things to yourself in the death of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So grant to us all a measure of your peace. For your name's sake, we pray. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.